The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. An update on our family trials and tribulations. Always good to do that. Plus, Pastor Ray from Maranatha Chapel gives us food for thought by asking, how will this be? And then in closing, we're going to look at Psalm 18 and examine how God feels about our trouble.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Yeah, I think we know that. It's not professional radio. Come on, let's be honest. Not professional radio. It's just radio. That's all it is. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, let's acknowledge that Terrific Tierra is on the board.
Hello.
Filling in for Wonder Julie, doing a fantastic job. Do you see how smooth that transition was? You couldn't tell. I think that was perfect.
Trying out here.
You did it perfect. In fact, we would say that's like butter. That was like butter. Okay. Well, if you're Yiddish, or if you're Jewish and you have a Yiddish fan, you get it. It's like butter.
Butter.
All right. We are going to do acknowledgments. I'm going to give her a set. Do you feel pretty comfortable to do our Mr. Restore? Okay. Here we go. Here we go with Mr. Restore.
I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Mr. Restore, what do they do? Fire and water damage cleanup, wind damage, flood damage, sewage damage, anything that's going on that you need restoration services for, Mr. Restore is there for you. Now, here's the bottom line. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated on the BBB. They got 50 years of restoration experience. They're family-owned and operated. They have 24-hour emergency response and on-site within 60 minutes. And they have thousands of happy customers. That's Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. Mr. Stop right there. And then you say restore. So it's Mr. Restore.com. That's their website. Their phone number, 877-631-7576. That's 877-631-7576. They are closely connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation, of which my wife and I are also sponsors and partners now. We've become that. And we think that's a wonderful group, and we love it, and we really want you to check it out. We're going to have Mo come back in and talk some more to you, and we're going to have Clint come back in and talk some more to you. But you got anything going on in restoration realm, these are the people you want to talk to. We also have a link on our website, davidspoonmedia.com. Gives you a chance to figure out what's going on there. Okay. Great. Great job again. Terrific. Tierra is just, you're just slicing it. Slice.
I'm trying.
You're with past Yoda. No, try. Just do. You're doing it. It's great. Let's nail down a few things that you do want to know. I'm going to give a shout out in about 2 minutes to my grandkids, but hold on. First, it's Cyber Monday. Who cares? I don't even care. It's Safety Razor Day. I don't even know what that is. Safety Razor Day means what? Less tissue on your face when you're shaving? I don't know. Less tissues on your legs if you're a girl and you're shaving? I don't know.
More or less.
Is that what that is? All right. What I think is cool is it's National Fritters Day. And that's something people don't know. Fritters are fried pastries that are filled with chocolate, jelly, or fruits. And you can do anything you want, put it together any way you want. It's like, yeah, I like that. I'm for that. For those that don't know, I did want to make sure you understood this. I thought this was kind of interesting. On this day in 1982, the first person received a permanent artificial heart. Which is like, wow, that was like 1982. It wasn't even really that long ago. Here, for those that are TV buffs, on this day, watch these two things come together. Ready? Number one, a Boeing 747 for the first time took off in 1969 with over 350 passengers making its first public flight. That's cool. But this one's even cooler. On the same day, on television, Major Nelson married Jeannie. For My Dream of Jeannie. Folks, those are the things we live by. Come on. That is quality stuff right there. You don't get that from any radio station. You don't get that from any radio show. Is this a radio show? I don't even know.
It is. It's a radio show.
It is a radio. Wow. I got to remember that. All right, let me give you an update on the family stuff. You're not going to like it. It's a lot of tough stuff. So let me just get into it. And there's no point in kind of like trying to make it something it isn't or trying to say something about that. First and foremost, let me give a shout out to my grandkids, all of them. And I will name them one more time. But first of all, you have Addie Bug. And then you have Carter Bear. And then you have Isaiah Anthony. And then you got Stella Ray, and you got Easton Scott, and that's the one we're going to talk about, the Easton Scott situation. And then you have one yet to be named, he who has not yet been named. I feel that that's kind of a weird way to say that, but that's what it is. I think they have names, they just haven't told us. All right. Let's just talk a little bit about the tough stuff on the family. As you guys know, I've been having you pray for Easton Scott. He's the one that had a real trouble in the beginning of his birth. That trouble magnified about 100-fold in the last 10 days. To give you an idea how bad, he had some seizures when he was born in the beginning. Then he went home. He went 3 months without any problems. In the last 10 days, he's had well over 120 seizures. So it's a real, real serious issue. It is connected to genetics, which nobody can figure out whose genetics or what genetics. I don't think that part matters so much. It's been very difficult on the family. I want to say a big shout out to Ashley and to Joshua, who did a great job. We were talking about how we can best help Julianne and Jared, my daughter and son-in-law. And then Ashley came up with the idea that we would go up there, get their kids, bring them back to Texas, watch the kids amongst us here in Texas, and give them a chance to deal with this situation in the hospital so they wouldn't have to worry about the kids. Great idea on her part. Here's the bottom line. Josh and I got in our truck. We went up on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We got there at 2 in the morning. We went to bed. I pretty much slept an hour and 45 minutes. Josh slept about 3 hours and 10 minutes. We got up, we got the kids in the truck, and we drove back from Tennessee to Texas. And then we actually arrived about 10 minutes before the Thanksgiving dinner was supposed to start. But it was a 14-hour drive in a 24-hour period on the day before Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving. So that's a lot of stuff. Then, because we didn't think a lot about it, because granted, my brain is not that great. What happened at that spot was just incredible. What happened is that then I realized I had to buy stuff for my kids, right? So what day is it that I have to go buy stuff for my grandkids? What? It's Black Friday, and I have to go to Walmart to buy groceries and clothing. Hey, guess what day you don't want to go buy stuff for your grandkids when it's out of necessity versus shopping? Yeah, it's that day. And we were in Walmart, and that was fun. Which is like, so between 7 hours driving on Wednesday, 7 hours driving on Thursday, and then shopping there. So we have our grandkids. We have Addie Bug, and we have Isaiah Anthony with us. And then Ashley and Josh, they're the parents of Carter Bear and of Stella Ray, and they're helping us. And Easton Scott's in the hospital with his folks in Tennessee, and they're praying for him. So I'm asking every one of you to pray for Easton Scott, because what they're saying technically is it's horrible. But what we're believing is this one principle, and I love that my daughter and my son-in-law are people of faith, that we're praying this one thing. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, what that means for practical, get through the baloney, get to the core of the message, is this. You look at a situation, and science can do nothing. This is a newer disease that they've figured out in the last like 7-8 years. There's no actual treatment that works because there's nothing that's been established. All right? So you can look at this situation and you can think in your heart and in your mind, you know, it's hopeless because they have no more answers for science. But that's walking by sight. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So once you insert God into a picture, it changes the landscape of the picture. If you're going to be a person of genuine faith, then when you're going through it, you got to really do that, not just say it. And so we insert God into this picture and it changes. It's like, well, science can't do anything, but God can. And it only takes a moment for a miracle. So we are praying and believing and asking God to bring a miracle into Easton Scott's life. That's what we're hoping for. And Addie Bug and Isaiah Anthony and Carter Bear and Stella Ray, they just can't wait to see Easton. And that's the attitude we have to have, an expectation of something that's going to take place that's good. You know, hope is believing that tomorrow will be better. Faith is active for today. Hope is active for tomorrow. And we believe God's going to do a wonderful work in not just this family, but in Easton's life, and it will be a testimony. Unfortunately, too many of these testimonies are forgotten and not held onto. And that's, of course, what happened to the children of Israel when they were walking through the desert, and they forgot all the great things that God had done. And we do that, too. God does all these awesome things in our lives, delivers us, answers prayer, gives us favor, protects us, and we're like, yay, and then we forget. And the response to that is, let's not do that. Let's remember. And I'm not trying to tell you this is an easy situation, because it ain't. I haven't been a parent to 2 children under 4 in 31 years. Skills are a little rusty. I will say that's true. But we're doing it together. We need prayer. We need your support. We're going through a financial whirlwind where everything's falling in the garbage at the same time. Guess what? Forward we go in ministry and in the kingdom until there's nowhere left to go and nothing less we can do. That's what you do. You take your one foot and you put it in front of your other foot and you keep going. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears and
all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. What an excellent job that terrific Tierra is doing.
Trying my best over here.
You are just doing fabulous. Perfect. Like I said before, it's like butter. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. And now I was actually, I don't know about rebuked, but challenged. We give. When we get money in, we give. We pay tithe. Pay tithes plus a little bit extra. And somebody said, you ought to open that up where people can give to the ministry. And I'm like, well, I don't have everything done. You know how I am. I don't like stuff like, what am I supposed to do? And look, if you feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you to help us out, great. We're just going to use that money to advance the radio ministry. That's our goal. Our goal is to encourage people one step at a time, one person at a time, best we can. So pray about it. If it's there, there. If it's not, not. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. So I gave an update in the last segment. If you're wanting to know specifically, well, what's the prognosis for Easton? The prognosis is we prevail through faith because science does not have an answer. That's the prognosis. So you got 2 choices. You can't. Now, I want to say I got to be very careful about this. I'm not going to say which grandchild, but one of my grandchildren, when they don't like how it's going, they pout. Now, I don't mean pout like normal pout, you know, like pouting like, They drop their lower lip so low, I'm thinking you can get a train through there. I mean, it's that low. It's just huge. It's just enormous. Then this individual, I have not yet said boy or girl, puts hands together and slouches. It's like a drama act. It's like, yeah, I can do that. Or I can come before the Lord in my situation and say, hey, I need your help. Come on. Help me out, you know? And most of you would know you got to be careful when you say this, but I can say to the Lord, do me a solid. Now, unfortunately, if that turns out to be the case, he might want that solid back. And that's not usually life-changing. All right, let me address this. I want to get into the second segment. As you know, I had spent an entire show talking about the fact that there are many great teachers, many, many, many better teachers than I am, many better encouragers, all of that. I mean, that's just absolutely fact. And I think it's a really good idea for all of us to utilize other people's materials that's really good. In other words, if somebody preaches a really good message and makes a really good point, I want to share that with you. That's encouraging. It's not like originality. And then the idea that people say, well, you know, you have to cite all the sources because otherwise, you know, it's wrong to be taking other people's sources and to be stealing other people's materials. First of all Christian material is authenticated through Christ, who is the author. Oh, wait, let me just double check. What does the scripture say? Oh, he's the author and finisher of our faith. What's the author do? He writes it. I don't know. It's not genius, but it's true. And so the reality is there's no stealing other people's materials. That's absurd. Anybody who preaches anything in the name of Christ recognizes that Christ owns it. We own nothing. Possess everything, yet own nothing, you know, or vice versa. This is, it's all his. You know that. So I always encourage people that I listen to different pastors. I listen to different teachers. I listen to I don't listen to a lot of radio because I worship when I'm driving in Dallas. There's so much bad traffic. You got to worship. That's the only way to get through. Anyhow, so Ray Bentley, a pastor, a friend of mine, put out this wonderful thing. I want to read it. I am giving Ray the credit. So it's not plagiarism. But if I didn't say Pastor Ray, I would just say a good friend of mine. Here's what he said. This is from Luke 1:28. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. A young woman engaged to be married was going about her daily business when an angel visited her. Well, not just any angel. It was Gabriel, who appeared to the ancient prophet Daniel to explain his visions. Centuries later, Gabriel told Zechariah, an elderly priest, that his wife would give birth to John the Baptist. 6 months later, he visited a humble Jewish girl with this message. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. Ray writes, that's a pretty overwhelming message. Mary was clearly shaken, and who wouldn't be, wondering how this would happen. She certainly never expected to see an angel or to receive special favor from heaven. How will this be? Mary asked. Since I'm a virgin. Gabriel explained, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Lord was with Mary. The Lord was with Mary. And Gabriel said, the Lord's presence is the golden thread that runs through the lives of those whom God touches and called. Mary is the ultimate example of honest humility and faith. She was not afraid to ask questions. There is nothing wrong, by the way, for you asking God a question. Well, why is this? Well, what is this? Every single man and woman of God from Adam on has asked questions. That's not the sin. You can say, what? You can't charge God, but you can ask God. She wasn't afraid to ask questions, and I think she really wanted to know, how's this going to be? How are you going to do this? I think a young woman, God says you're going to be pregnant, and she's like, okay, I'm a virgin. Like to know how you're going to do that one. Like to see the old switcheroo. The marble's under number three. I mean, it's like it's kind of a weird thing, right? Sometimes that's all you can say is, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? But she responded, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me. As you have spoken, let it be fulfilled. Oh, see that spirit right there? Mary goes, yeah, that's wild. Do it! That's the attitude. Sometimes the Lord does something unexpected, so beyond what we can imagine, that when he calls us and tells us what's going, the only response, what's going to happen, the only response we can give is, how are you going to do that? Because it's too bizarre to believe. The real question that Ray points out is, can we surrender ourselves like Mary did? That's the killer right there. We know through the lens of history as a mother of Jesus and a weird figure in the Christian faith. But remember, she's a person like us, called by God. She's clearly strong enough to endure the public embarrassment. And people don't think about this, but she was pregnant and not officially married. And then when Joseph said, who did it? She said, God. Joseph should get a medal besides everything else. Come on. And then she had to rode on a long donkey ride to Bethlehem while she was pregnant so she can sleep in a stable. She was exceptional in her faith. And you can ask the Lord whatever you want. And you can pursue the Lord and talk to the Lord about it. But that spirit that says, may it be unto you as you have spoken, that's what Ray was trying to capture, and that's what I agree with. What I see there is an ability for a young person to seize upon faith and say, okay, let's go. And a lot of people don't recognize that faith is often spelled risk because not all faith is safe. And for my daughter and my son-in-law to take the stand that we're going to do our best, not that they're not going to cry, not that they're not going to weep and yell and have arguments with God, not that that's going to, because of course it's going to happen. But they're going to go forward and say, not the way of the world, but as the way of God can be, show us a miracle, we beseech you. Now, how often do you and I go through a situation and we don't do that? And instead, we do a little bit more, maybe a little bit of the disciples, a little bit of the early church, a little bit of the children of Israel thing where we don't understand it. And because we don't understand it, we complain about it. I don't get this. I don't like this. I'm not controlling this. I'm getting frustrated. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're going to do it. I think I've done that about 11 million times, but it could be closer to 12. Where the Lord does stuff and you're like, what is going on? My wife and I right now, I think this is one of the toughest personal trials. Not our marriage. Our marriage is fantastic. It's every single thing around us is like a blowing up whirlwind. Where I'm at, where she's at, for the kids, for the things that are going on in life. We're trying to, in our connection with the church, in connection to the ministry, anything you can think of, just blow it up and go, yeah, that's what they're going through. Only put them all together. We're doing it all at one time. Here, so I'll come before the Lord just like honest people do, and I'll say, I just don't get this. I don't know what you're doing. I do the same thing everybody else does, and I think most people do this. What I do wrong, right? What's matter kind of thing. And I do that all the time. I'm always asking the Lord, if I did this wrong, I'm sorry. I never meant to do it that way. And then I go through that and get through that, and then I go through, well, this is just Satan. I wish you'd just beat him up, you know? I rebuke you, Satan. Then I start getting really tough with Satan. That's what most people do. But what people don't often do is just surrender and say, you know what? You're in charge, God. Satan can't even touch you, by the way, without permission if you don't think that's true. Look at Job, how he had to ask God for permission to touch him. And then as soon as you say that's the Old Testament, look at Peter, where Jesus said, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. That's the New Testament, and that's one of the apostles. Okay? He's got to get permission to do it. But God takes all of it, uses all of it, coordinates all of it, and makes it so that we are more like Christ, glory by glory, and step by step. Nobody said the process was so much fun. After all, for Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice, he had to sacrifice his life. That's a lot. You can ask God, but you have to believe God. You can't insult God. But sometimes you got to just trust God. You might not have the answer, but he does. You might not have everything in the palm of your hand where you can control it, but he does. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, but you can know him who brings tomorrow. Now, that's not bad, right? That's a good thing. All right, well, we are done? We're done. Going to take our break here and then come back with more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere. Destroying everyone and everything they find. The hungry giant. He's the hungry giant. Oh, he's on to
the moving parts. Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. We're actually recording this live on YouTube, so I don't know. You know, my technological capacity is pretty much in the size of a cannoli. Cannoli actually sounds pretty good.
Kind of does.
Yeah. We need a cannoli. We need a cannoli place around here. All right. So I want to make sure people know, so keeping them updated. We definitely want prayers for Easton Scott. We definitely have prayers for my family, for the Schiller family and the Spoon family. That's my son-in-law. The Schillers are their last name. We want to keep everybody in prayer. You want to pray for Dave because Dave is being grandpa, acting like dad. And it's so good that my wife is there because without her help, those kids would be traumatized forever.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, huh?
Yes. And it's like, man, it's been such a long time. It's like, you know, I mean, outside of the grandkids staying for a couple of days here, this is going to be a little bit longer term. And But it does make me appreciate how simplistic it is to take care of my dog. Because, I mean, he's just like, he doesn't say, I don't want to watch this. That's the one thing my dog has never said to me. I don't want to watch this. Paw Patrol. I don't know. Although now I know what Paw Patrol is. So I can tell you that. Let me give another shout out to Terrific Tierra doing a great job. Excellent job. So you're going to be with us for the next couple of days, right?
Yes, all the way till Wednesday.
All right. So you have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Do whatever you want when we're doing whatever we're doing. So if there's a weird sound and I react to it, it's because I haven't worked with Tierra in that capacity. So we're doing that now. We're learning that now. And she's having a good time. It's not that bad.
We're testing the waters.
Yeah. It's better than a poke an eye with a sharp stick. So, come on. All right. Johnny Hill will be on the show tomorrow. And Johnny and I are going to get together and have a talk. We got some things that we're planning for the show. So those are all cool things. I don't want you to get the wrong impression, though. We do this show. We do the best we can to be Spirit-led. That does not mean that everything is a fluff.
Oh, I just want to make you feel good.
If I just want to make everybody feel good, we'd all be on Prozac. Just put it in the water. Forget it. Okay? That's not the goal. The goal here is to draw closer and closer to the Lord, to reflect Jesus Christ step by step, and to move in that direction. I just happen to be a little bit more of encouraging in that nature than discouraging, I think. I guess it depends on who you talk to. With that in mind, let's talk about this DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Do you have any downer music? Because this is going to, we were like, boop, 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 and then we're going to kind of drop it down a little. So if you find something, let me know. You can play it anytime you want. So this is because I'm pulling this out of Ezekiel.
Yeah, let me find one.
Okay, you come, you just wave me down. I'll make sure to give you the opportunity. Here we go. Ezekiel 33:31. Not exactly the bedrock of cheerio. My people come to you. as they usually do, and sit before you and listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouth, they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. This is Ezekiel 33:31. My people come to you, as they usually do, and sit before you to listen to your words. But they do not put them into practice. With their mouths, they express devotions. But their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Here's the key in this. You think, well, that doesn't apply to the New Testament. Right, only in the entire epistle of James does it apply. Here is what you get out of this. There is a lot of hearing. And we do a lot of hearing. And the fact is, I am one of those that would strongly disagree. I do strongly disagree, just so you know. And you're going to hear this a little different than you've heard this before. I think you ought to hear as much as you can. I think you ought to, you know, listen. Of course, you want to make everything go through the filter of the truth of the word between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21, 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, 778,000 words in the King James Bible, if you're using King James, 753. Or something like that in the NIV. I don't care. As long as you're using the Word of God as your basis, I think you should hear all the time. People are like, you know, there's no point in hearing if you're not doing. I just totally disagree with that. One of the things that I think is important is you keep hearing and you keep hearing because certain things penetrate and make impact on you better than other things. Did you find something? Yeah? All right, go ahead. I want to hear. Go ahead. What do you got? I can't hear yet. There's no sound. No, when we say sad, we mean somebody screaming like, ah, like depressing.
I'm going to find something.
You find something. All right, so here we go. This is important. You hear things all the time. Good. Listen, when I'm going to leave here. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to hopefully get the script that's supposed to be ready. Odds are 50-50. And then I'm going to go pick up the grandkids and go home. Guess what? I'm going to put on some kind of worship music. In fact, I'm probably going to try and listen to some Leon Patillo because I love Leon Patillo. And he's one of the people that was influential in my life. Well, why am I going to do that? Why am I listening to Christian music over and over again? Why do I listen to worship music over and over again? Why do I want to hear different people teaching? Why do I hear different people preaching? Because... did you find something? Okay. Because all that makes an impact on me as opposed to me doing nothing and just listening to the world. Okay. Now we're going to get ready to get to the mean part. All right. Did you find something? No? Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me, we can play it anytime you want.
Help me, Jesus! Jewish God!
That's great!
Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
Now, why is that funny? Because what we do is we hear it, and even when it connects, right, you don't use it. And it's like, look, I don't mind you hearing all the different things, but if you hear something at church or you're reading something in your Bible or somebody says something to you and it's a powerful witness and you know it's true, use it! Use it. Why wouldn't you use? This is what he's talking about. You guys sit there, you listen to all this stuff, and you think the comedians are great, and it's really funny, and you don't do anything with it. You get it? We don't use it. See, 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ. The problem is we don't use it. Do you know how many Christians do not use the mind of Christ? Well, guess what? They have the mind of Christ. They just don't use it. That's kind of like prayer. We have this ability to access the presence of God anytime we want. We just don't. It's like, why not? Not that you have to be a monk in the process, per se, unless the Lord calls you to monkiness, then you could be monk. I don't mean monkey, but I'm saying you'd be a monk. If that's what the Lord's, great. But use what the Lord has shown you. Spend time in prayer. There's an open door there. You can utilize the presence to get into the presence of God anytime you want. See, sometimes we look in the mirror and then we just forget. Right? Now, we all do this. Okay? I don't care. unless you're a lot older or unless you have a picture instead of a mirror. You look in the mirror and you check your hair, right? You check to make sure that your shirt or whatever your work looks good. And you check to make sure you have no drool on the side of your mouth and you have no eye things, you know, like little things that creep up into your eyes when you're sleeping. I won't say what they're called. So you kind of like look at yourself, right? Now imagine looking at yourself and then having drool on the side of your mouth and you look at yourself and then you just walk away and you don't wipe it away. And then you walk around the whole day and you got drool on the side of your mouth and everybody you talk to is looking at you. And while you're talking, all they see is the drool. That is what it is like when you and I are doing these things, when we're thinking in our brains, when we're thinking in our minds, this is what I look like. And then you do nothing about it. That's what we're talking about. You know, faith without works is dead in the context of that. If you really have a faith and there is a genuineness to it, there's going to be some produce from it. There's going to be something that comes out of it. But being a person that just hears and never does is kind of weird. Right? Being a person who looks in the mirror, sees yourself, and then goes, I forgot that I have a piece of tissue sticking in my nose. And then going around talking to people, that's just strange. And so it is if you have these things that God has taught you and given you wisdom in and give you insights or given you touch to, and you do nothing with it. I'm not telling you you get saved by works. I don't believe that. I think it's a ridiculous mindset to think that anything but the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is going to save anybody. Only his perfect work with the perfect attitude is going to make it. Only his perfect sacrifice. But I am telling you, you have to do stuff. There used to be an expression in the church many years ago called doing the stuff. It's like, just be doing it. Don't just listen to it. If you're a person that's of faith, live in the faith, which means you don't just evaluate by circumstance, you use faith. There's nothing weird about, that's just really weird. No, it's just less worldly. That's what it is. And the world's like, yeah, you should be like us. It's like, you don't want to be like the world. The world, friendship with the world is a disaster for you and God. God and the world are not best buds. Got it? He's trying to save the people in the world, but he's not trying to salvage the world system of independence from God and independent righteousness. It's all political correctness is, by the way. Righteousness apart from God. That's all it is. That's why it's so confusing. Oh, wait, where does that come from? Yeah, we'll talk about that some other time. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the Father and the Father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A little James Robeson for you. Can I download what's on my heart? Yes, you absolutely can. Now listen to me. I love it. Something else. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Isn't he fun?
He is.
He's old school, but it's like cool. Old school cool. Right? Is that a saying? That should be a saying.
Old school cool. I like that.
Yeah. Have you heard him before? I mean, he's just got that.
Never heard of him.
He's just got that fiery, he's just old. Somebody had told me he was in a meeting with the president, and like there was like 150 evangelical leaders, and they were all like, trying to be really respectful of the time. And so it's where James didn't care. He's like, hey, I got something to say, and I'm saying it. And that was it. And everybody's like, okay. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. For those that are trying to figure it out, please keep praying for my family. I would greatly appreciate it. And also for this ministry that we are doing what we can to move forward. If you have supported us in the past, you know how much we appreciate that. It's awesome. And then just being a blessing to people is cool. So that's the best part. So this will be the best part of my days. Right now it's 2 to 3. And then soon we're hoping the best part of my day is either 2 to 4 or 1 to 3. We'll see what happens. I wanted to finish up this particular show with Psalm 18. And there's a reason why, and I think it's really important. I'm going to try and not read the whole psalm because you'll be like going, snore, because some of you don't like that. And I understand that because we have a high level of short attention spans. And so we want to just keep it rolling. But one of the things that Psalm 18 always speaks to me is how God responds to the things that take place to us. And it paints a picture. And so if you haven't read Psalm 18, not 118, 18, in a long time, I want you to, it doesn't take that long. I mean, it's, X amount of verses. But listen, take it 10, not even 5 minutes to read the whole thing. Listen to this really cool picture of somebody who's in trouble and having a hard time and then having God come in and help. That's like the picture everybody wants, right? Here's what he says. This is Psalm 18, verse 4. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me, and the snares of death confronted me. Okay? That, first of all, that is not positive. That's all negative. Like, wow. We are not a positive-only people. We're positive, negative, up, down, in, and around. Jesus came to give life and life to the fullness. The fullness of life does not mean fully smiling 24/7. I don't know who came up with that, but it ain't true. The fullness of life is the fullness of life. You get all of it. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. You get all of it. That's how it goes. But you get to do it in God Oh, that's where therein lies the difference. So here in Psalm 18, it's like the cords of death around me. Everything is going tough. Verse 2, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. Genius idea here. When we're going through really, really tough times, instead of trying to go through each and everything you can come up with and solving it on your own, and then at the end, when you've concluded you can't do a single thing about it, then going to God, here's a genius thought. Just go to God. Don't try and get everything done. Just go. He's there. He's not, well, I would talk to you, but you haven't exhausted option 56 and 57. So, you know, I'm not going to respond. It's like, what are you talking about? So in my distress, I called the Lord. I cried to God for my help. Now, here's the third key in this psalm. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. One of the things that we don't remember is that God always hears us. Now, the answer could be no for whatever you're going through. It could be yes. It could be the most famous answer of all that comes from heaven. Hold, please. So when you call AT&T or when you call Verizon, the first thing they do, they go, thank you for calling Verizon. Can you hold, please? Hey, you don't even get to answer. They put you on hold. Well, there's a lot of hold on the Lord because he's teaching us patience and helping us to grow and helping us to develop. So he hears it, but he doesn't always respond to it in the fashion that we expect him to. But here's the picture behind the scene, verse 7 of Psalm 18. This is after God hears what's going on. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. And out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced, the hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. This is how God responds when you're going through stuff. I'm not happy. Like, yeah. That is a grandpa on the move right there. I can tell you right now, that is a grandpa on the move. And you think, well, if he wanted to just snap his fingers, he could just change everything in an instant. Yeah, but his purposes and plans are more important than your comfort. So he allows things in your life to develop you to be more Christ-like. Because that's more important than you having good feelings. That's what we have to remember. It's very difficult for people to remember. This is why we're not into a gospel that simply says everything is peachy all the time. You can have a terrific attitude and see things from an excellent light. But sacrifice and suffering are part of the maturity process of Christians. And Jesus illustrated that by the life he lived and the life he gave. And we just got to kind of grow up and go, okay, that's it. Now look at verse 16. I just want to jump to this because verse 16 and verse 19 are the two cool ones. This is kind of like the cool process. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies and my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. See? And that's just get this picture of this huge being reaching his hand down and grabbing you out of the river going, that's enough. I love it. It's like, how is that not cool? That's like totally awesome cool stuff, right? And that's how God responds to us. Now look at this verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place and he rescued me because he delighted in me. Now let me see if I can find this in the scripture. Because I am really righteous and good and he owes me. Oh wait, that's not in there. Because I do everything perfect. Oh wait, that's not in there. Because I'm flawless. Nope, not in there either. Huh. He brought me out into a spacious place and he rescued me because he delighted in me. Why did God do it? Because he loves us. Why? Who knows? That's so far beyond the... Oh, yeah, you can give me all... Well, his DNA is love, and I've been saying that for 40 years. It's all true. But you look at my life, and I think, yikes. He certainly has a lot of love if he thinks I'm great. That's all I... But there it is. And he does it because he does. And I love that he brought me out in spacious place, in a spacious place. Sometimes you feel squeezed. You feel so tight, like you're in a box. And it's like the Lord goes, say, have breathing room right here. I'll drop you down in a field. Relax. Check out the flowers. I feed them too. Like, oh, cool. But he does it because he loves us. And you're thinking, well, I know, but shouldn't he do it this way? Or couldn't he do it this way? And the answer is, are you trying to actually tell God how to be God? How dangerous is that? You think complaining is bad? Why don't you tell God he's not doing a good job? I would duck because that's not a good idea. You know what's a good idea? Saying thank you. You know what's a good idea? Looking to him, calling out, and then trusting in his response. You know what's a good idea? Chilling. So that he can help you. And you know when you become impatient? You know he didn't create that impatience. You did. So stop that. Because you're helping that process along, and it ain't good. Relax. Take a deep breath. I'll close out with this. So I'm in a pastor's conference. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you 100 times, 1,000 times if I can. And there's like 2,000 pastors there, which is the worst thing in the world, having 2,000 pastors in one room and then ever having it be quiet. It'll be like a miracle, right? In the very back where nobody can see, and you would almost say the very last row, but there's like three levels in this place and you can't see or anything. You could just hear this voice go, relax and enjoy the ride. And it's like that the pastor goes, now that was the Lord, right? Why? Because sometimes you just got to relax and enjoy the ride, okay? You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.